What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Our attention out of Amsterdam, about a week ago or so, there was a soccer game, and Zionists decided to use the opportunity to spread anti-Arab, anti-Muslim, anti-Palestinian hate. And then when folks who were targeted reacted, claimed anti-Semitism. Joining us to discuss is Amanda Gellender, a Jewish anti-Zionist organizer and writer from the Bay Area, currently based in the Netherlands. Her latest on Substack is called Hamasterdam and the Anti-Semitic Pogrom That Never Was. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us. So we're just going to do a slow walk through what happened. There's a soccer match set to take place between Israel and the Netherlands. What happens the night before the match?
Absolutely. So leading up to the match and before the match and then continuing afterwards, you had Israelis, soccer fans, armed with metal pipes, terrorizing Muslims, targeting people who were showing solidarity with Palestine, but also just like walking around the streets, harassing, spitting in the face of locals, assaulted a cab driver. They were like pulling down Palestinian flags. And there are videos of them chanting genocidal slogans like, let the IDF win to F the Arabs. And why is school out in Gaza? There are no children left here. So generally, they're just wreaking violent havoc across the cities. And, you know, Israelis are used to acting with this level of complete, impunity, really. And so that's the context that was, of course, completely of the fabricated and manufactured Zionist disinformation campaign.
And Amanda, these are just fans, like fans that traveled to go see this game or folks that live there. I'm sure you're not sure, but these aren't like, I don't know, military folks, even though I know there's forced military service in Israel, but these are just random soccer fans, correct?
Yeah, I mean, these are soccer fans who have a documented history of violence wherever they go. But as you mentioned, it's a really important point. There are many of those folks who are currently serving in the Israeli military or are reservists, as most folks are in a conscripted military service. So you have folks who are terrorists on the ground, murdering children, and then hopping on a plane to go see a soccer match, you know? And the soccer league lets Israel do that in a way, you know, just act with complete impunity to do what they want.
How does the Amsterdam Arab community respond? What sort of protests were seen and happen?
Well, so what happened and what was not portrayed in the mass media disinformation campaign was that this was really an act of community defense that was happening, because, you know, you have these mobs going around terrorizing, you know, Arabs and Muslims in the community, and then the community fought back, as well they should. You know, this is what we really had, was anti-fascists addressing this sort of Nazi Zionism on the streets of Amsterdam. Of course, that was portrayed as rampant attacks on the Jewish community, right? As pogroms, as Jew hunts, as all these things, just unquestionably throughout Western media. But in reality, I mean, as someone who lives here, like, I'm proud that that is how this was addressed. I mean, there is rampant racism in this country. It, you know, it's rooted in its colonial history. It's deeply Islamophobic, anti-Black, and anti-Arab. And so, you know, the thing that happened when these Zionists came to terrorize the streets of Amsterdam is that they finally faced some consequences for the type of racial terrorism that they spread, be that in Gaza or on the streets of Amsterdam.
Amanda, in your article, you say that the Dutch government is, quote, a direct partner in the ongoing Palestinian genocide. I don't think my listeners are aware. We've been really focused, of course, on the United States and the UK, but I'd love to just walk through more of that. And we can start with the ban on protests that happened.
Absolutely. So immediately following this game, Dutch state on protests, which people defied, there were mass arrests. There was significant police brutality. And this is a continuation of, you know, the Dutch state's very staunch Zionism. I mean, there is tremendous money invested in weapons. There is an ongoing case that I believe the Dutch government is trying to appeal about their F-35 jet parts that they provided Israel directly. That's in the court system right now. You know, the attack dogs that the Israeli military uses to kill and maim Palestinians come from a Dutch company. There's myriad ways in which the Dutch government is a direct partner in this genocide. And so naturally, they would put a draconian protest ban, absolutely. People defied that. And then the debate in the government was around, should there be a denaturalization process? Should we strip people of citizenship if they are guilty of the crime of these false anti-Semitism charges? It would put that under terrorism. And we're going to see this happen increasingly. And the demonization of anti-Semitism that is rampant. You're seeing it here in this case, but you see it obviously most egregiously in occupied Palestine, where this has been the Zionist playbook for over a century of colonial genocide.
I'm going to tug on that thread a little bit, the thread around the ban on protests, and ask you what police repression against pro-Palestinians has looked like in the Netherlands, and specifically as a Jewish person, to combat the false claims of anti-Semitism amongst pro-Palestinian folks.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the Netherlands, you know, follows its compatriots, its the genocide of Euro-America in its, you know, fascist crackdowns on these protests that we saw across the U.S. We see it in the Netherlands. We see it very starkly in Germany, who has, you know, passed just recently, I believe, a law around anti-Semitism and the false way in which Zionists deploy it. And so, I mean, there has been sustained police crackdowns and police brutality against folks showing solidarity with Palestine. And it's not surprising, just given how deep the Islamophobia and racism runs in this country systemically and institutionally.
I want to talk a little bit more about the racism. I have been to Amsterdam twice. I took my daughter 2 years ago, and we had gotten there. I'm black, and my daughter's black. We got there, and it was right when the government had apologized for the Netherlands' role in the history of slavery. So my producer, Jesse, brought this to me. I was like, oh, well, I wonder how that plays out with this political backdrop. There was a striking difference with the way that I was treated when I went 2 years ago than when I had gone 20 years before. And then I'm in your article where you talk about that a lot of the people that fought back against Zionism in the streets are Dutch Moroccans, and you call it specific, vehement, racist, and Islamophobic prejudice against Moroccans. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about black folks in the Netherlands.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, just today as I was walking around, what I'm seeing everywhere is Zwarte Piet, you know, signs of folks in blackface, because it's that season. And it's a time when you'll see across the Netherlands, white folks proudly donning blackface in parades, and it's in their decorations and it's in everything. And this is something that they consider part of their Dutch heritage, part of Dutch pride, so explicitly and vehemently anti-black. And there is an organization called Kick Out Zwarte Piet that's been active for a long time that is fighting specifically Zwarte Piet in the Netherlands. That's just one of many manifestations, but it's that season right now is you're seeing it so dominantly in the Netherlands. And when we talk about like the apologies for slavery, the slave trade and things like that, the Netherlands has not even begun to address what has happened in Suriname, in all of their colonial pursuits, in Indonesia, the extensive complicity in the transatlantic slave trade, in specifically making boats. The Netherlands does not want to deal with this. They consider themselves tolerant and liberal. And the entrenched racism is so deep here amongst liberals and conservatives alike. And so specifically with Dutch Moroccans, it's, you know, Dutch Moroccans are absolutely considered a racial underclass specifically in the Netherlands. There is, specific racial hatred towards them. So the fact that it was Dutch Moroccans that stood up and protected the community as anti-fascists in this way is very important, because the government is primed, ready, and happy to use these fake anti-Semitism charges in order to try and deport and criminalize Arabs and Muslims in the Netherlands.
All right, Amanda, I've got to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fortnox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.